VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Happy New Year. It's 2017, which means that we're live, as always. It's 10 o'clock. You might not believe it, but we are still in Florida.
It is ugly out there
today. It is pitiful out there today relative to what us spoiled Floridians would like to be thinking.
And it's only going to get worse, too, tonight in the 30s.
Yes, but there's one thing that won't change.
What's that?
This is the VanWee Financial Hour, and I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live, as always, starting out a new year, almost winding up our second complete year. That'll happen next month.
Today is our 100th show.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, there are things already happening. How about that? Anyway, new listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you can stick around for an hour. Those of you who are regulars, thank you so much. Tell your friends, keep coming back. That's why we get up in the morning and do this. What is it we do? Well, on Saturday, we talk about things that happen during the week and in general, unless, of course, you want to take over and tell us what to talk about. The easiest way to do that is pick up the telephone and dial 904-222-8255. I knew that was coming out
talk.
Badly.
It also spells talk.
How do you get out of practice in a week?
I don't know. It's been a long week.
Well, maybe that was it.
Actually, it was a short week, but...
Well, there's that, too. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't feel like Saturday yet. Anyway, be that as it were, it's 8255 nonetheless. And if you want to take over some of the editorial comment of the show, the easiest way in the world is just to pick it up and call. We will have a trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888, and it does have to do with the market. And speaking of the market, let's recap what's been going on in the full year 2017, which is now 4 market days long.
That's correct. And the big number this week is 19,999.63.
And my word for the week is, seriously?
Almost. Almost. That was the intraday high of the Dow on Friday afternoon, missing 20,000 by less than 4/10 of a point.
To make me wrong.
It's a little ironic that we got close to that number and then fell short again. Something tells me that 20,000 might be more than just another meaningless number on the chart.
On the psychological chart.
Yeah, a chartist would call it a resistance level at this point, having been this close for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks now. We've been within spitting distance and just can't break through.
So. One really good day and it would be there.
Yeah, and
but
who knows
we just if can't would, finish a really good day.
Who knows if it would punch through or just cross and come back. We'll
It can't go to 21 until it crosses 20 someday.
That is a fact.
That is a mathematical impossibility. Therefore, it will happen.
So despite not reaching 20,000, we closed out a pretty strong week with all three major indexes gaining 1% or more. The Dow was up 201 points or 1%. The S&P increased by 38 points or 1.7%. And the NASDAQ was the big winner, gaining 137 points or 2.7%. Quite a contrast to the start of last year when the markets were plunging to open the year. Of course, last year turned out pretty well, so the beginning of the trading year and the end of the trading year have very little to do with each other. And that actually has a little bit to do with our trivia, as we'll talk about later.
It certainly does.
For the first week of the year, the sectors that underperformed last year have been outperforming. This is a recurring theme that I will get into in my year in review later in the show, but the biggest gainers this week were healthcare, consumer discretionary, and technology. While telecom, energy, and utilities lagged, this is almost a mirror image of the sector picture from last year. Speaking of areas that got hit hard last year, the biotech sector has started 2017 pretty hot, with the index, or the ETF IBB, breaking through both its 50 and 200-day moving averages in a pretty bullish manner. Before we get too excited, though, this is the third time that has happened in the last year, and none of those rallies were sustained.
Yeah, but it lost a lot last year.
It did, but it started low. Started off pretty well this year. So
it has.
We would really need to see it to break through those 2016 highs in order to be really bullish on it, but so far so good. In economic news, the big news of the week was the job report. I saw several headlines saying that it was a strong report, but in reality, not so much. Would you agree with that?
I think it was catastrophic.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but it wasn't as pretty as...
Relative to expectations, relative to a good economy, relative to normal, relative to what'll happen 6 months from today, I think it was catastrophic.
Well, there was some good news in it, though. It wasn't all bad.
It wasn't 100%.
The number came in at 156,000, which was weaker than what was forecast. The unemployment rate also increased from 4.6 to 4.7%, but that was mostly due to people getting back in the workforce and starting to look for jobs. The good side of the report was in wage growth, which increased 2.9%, the strongest it has been since 2009. The biggest increases in wage growth were in the leisure and hospitality industry, while IT, finance, professional and business services, and manufacturing all saw over 3% increases. Not surprisingly, 25 to 34-year-olds have been the largest segment of the employment growth. That really makes sense considering the size of the millennial generation, and it is great news for those of us who are a little older, as those are the people that are going to be paying my Social Security at some point. So if you're in that age range, go out and find a job now.
Yeah, please.
The other positive news this week was jobless claims remained sub 300,000, and the ISM manufacturing report posted a very strong reading of 54.7 versus an expected 53.8. Anything above 50 is expansion, so that was an excellent report. That is something I expect to continue under Donald Trump's policy of keeping manufacturing jobs here in the U.S. The service sector is also strong, as the non-manufacturing report came in at 57.2. One of the strongest components of this report was automobile sales, which had a record year at over 18 million units sold. Not bad.
On that jobless claim thing, it's sometimes difficult for people in the media to understand that in a short week, the unemployment office isn't open all 5 days. So, of course, it was low.
Well, but it's been that level for quite a while now.
It has. It was unusually low, but it was the
actually, it's the second longest run on record of being below 300,000.
Yep. And now, is there anything that we can believe in these numbers? It's getting harder and harder. The reason is the seasonal adjustments have been made to these numbers, and this month and next month in particular are not really relevant to be compared to last month and the 11 before that. When methodology changes and numbers are retroactively applied and the new system that comes in annually based on the new population estimates and all that, it is not something that I'm going to spend a great deal of time on, but suffice it to say, in our next jobs report, it will be mentioned, but it will be pretty much meaningless, in my humble opinion, because of all the adjustments that the BLS makes. So take them with a little bit of a grain of salt. We'll see what happens. I think the biggest thing that is going to be out there right now is consumer confidence. 2 weeks from today, there will be a new occupant of the White House. I believe it's going to change a lot of people's attitudes about a lot of things. I should mention that the existing president is scheduled to be in Jacksonville tonight, so if you've got to be anywhere up around the airport or anything, prepare for some traffic problems.
Oh, with that weather out there, that could be a bad scene.
Yeah, if you can stay home today and watch TV or whatever, do it. You won't freeze and you won't be hung up on all that traffic. All right, trivia question. How much better did the S&P 500 perform this year than in the same week last year? Adam already told you how bad the market was last year. And this is the difference. How much did it improve? And I want that in percentage terms to the nearest tenth of a percent. So was it 2 or 12 or 15? It's some percentage. All right, we're going to take a little break and we'll go away, but we won't go far if you don't. Stick with us. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. I got it right.
Way to go.
Thank you so much. All right. Trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. How much better did the S&P 500 fare in this first week of the new year over the same week last year? It is a percentage number, and I need it plus or minus 1/10 of a point. All right. Adam, you wanted to mention a little something about the dogs of the Dow. Should we touch on that just a little bit?
We've been talking about that a little bit over the past few months. And if you don't know what the dogs of the Dow are, they're the 10 highest yielding stocks in the Dow Jones.
So redetermined every January 1st.
Correct. And they just redid that. And two dropped out. Those were Walmart and Procter & Gamble, and they were replaced with Boeing and Coca-Cola, and it brought the average yield on the dogs of the Dow to 3.53, which is pretty compelling. And I think we have a caller.
Good morning, Mike.
I got a question about my 401k.
Sure.
I think it's 10%, and my company puts in 4%. And I hear everybody say, and I don't know anything about this stuff, so I right now the T. Rowe Price is running our 401k. I've got it in real conservative stuff, and everybody's telling me I need to go aggressive and move everything into aggressive funds where I can start making some money with the way the stock market's going and everything right now.
How old are you?
I'll be 59 this year, and I don't think I've got enough in there. I've only got maybe $150,000 or so for a money manager to tell me what to do, and I don't know that I can do anything, so I really don't know what to do.
How long do you intend to work?
I'm going to work as long as my knees will hold out, as long as my body will hold out. I'm a truck driver delivering local freight around town, so as long as I can work, I'll work.
Reason to believe that'll be in excess of 5 years?
I'm hoping it'll be at least 8.
Good. All right. Then, I agree with your friends. I would get more aggressive, assuming that you have at least 5 years. The stock market adds a degree of safety. You know, it's always risky, but if you have 5 years or better to wait, you're probably going to be fine. And therefore, I would. And I would take a look at either, I don't know what your options are for sure, but maybe have you looked at any of the life cycle funds or target date retirement funds?
I have a you know, I just put money in it, and I don't even really look at it because I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at it.
All right.
And I was also thinking every year for the next until I retire, every year increasing it by at least 3%.
I like that.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what you should probably do, since you are not aware of it, get a list of your possibility of the funds that you can use in the plan, and send them over to us through our website, VanWeeFinancial.com.
You can just you can email them.
I didn't know if I had enough money to really even talk about it.
We'll just tell you, out of the choices you get, a very simple, here's what we would do if we're 59 years old, had 8 years intended to work, and we had these available, maybe half in one and half in another, or third, or something. But we'll come up with something real simple for you that will be more aggressive but not outrageously so.
Okay, because I listen to y'all every Saturday, and I really like y'all's show. I don't know anything about investing, so I just kind of listen. You know, I'm a talk radio junkie.
Well, good.
Well, we appreciate you listening.
Yes, we do. Do that. Go to our website. You get our email address. You can send it to adam@vanwayfinancial.com or just through the info. But if you can just scan it or find a digital copy or mail it to us or fax it to us or whatever you want, and we'll give you a free opinion. That's no problem at all.
I really appreciate it. Y'all have a good weekend, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Would you like to take a shot at the trivia?
I don't even know what the trivia is. I just got into the car, and I turned the radio on and heard y'all were on, so I said, I'll give them a call and see what they think.
All right. What percentage better did the S&P 500 index do this year than the same week last year? So it's just
percent-wise?
Yes, percent-wise.
5?
You're a little good bit guess, low, but it was low. Not a bad guess at all. And we got a bracket now. It's above 5 and below infinity. Mike, thanks,
guys. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you. Bye. Wayne, good morning.
I'd like to preface my remarks by saying that your show is excellent, and I've lived in cities where there are no financial shows. Here we have more than one, and that's not true in every city in America, you know. And so to have radio stations that are reaching the public with educational, informational, is a plus.
Well, for 15 years. Thank you. Yes, for 15 years, I've said the only thing more fun than listening to shows like this is doing one.
Oh, well, I'm glad you guys endeavored out to do it, and it just adds a couple of shows out there like that now. So that being said, I've listened to you many years ago, Sublime, on a couple different stations. And so
I've been around.
Yeah, you sure have. You do a great job.
Thank you.
In the early days, I've been with you off and on since we moved here from the north.
Great, thank you.
So once we came down from the Midwest, I says, I hope they got some shows down here in Florida, but you sure do.
There's nothing more important than a good Midwest upbringing.
I thought you might be a fellow Midwesterner.
Well, yeah, I listened. There was a great financial show out of Milwaukee. And so anyway, my question, quantitative easing.
Yes.
When did that begin? Why did it begin? And what administrations did it run through from start to finish up to the current moment? If in fact it's still a part of our, financial operation today.
It is, to a degree. Much less a degree than it was.
Yeah, the exact year it started, I'm not too sure.
Oh,
yeah, I guess it's called quantitative easing 1, 2, I mean, I don't know.
3.
Yeah, 3. Are we up to 3?
Plus, yes, we're over 3, and we're over Operation Twist, which was similar, but not the same.
Now, where's the current, not the current, but the future administration here in about another week or so, will things change under the Trump administration, being his business savvy as opposed to just the community organizer, the way they operated up to this point, and everyone in the past? We've had nothing but politicians. Now we got a businessman. Will that make a difference?
Yes. What difference remains to be seen completely, but we can all speculate on it. What do you think, Adam?
Well, there's a couple of things going on there. I believe that the current round of quantitative easing started under Barack Obama, but he actually doesn't control that. He can influence it, but it's actually done by the Fed, which is not a government organization. It's a non-government organization, but even though they have a name like the Federal Reserve, so you'd think they are not controlled directly by the president.
Now, are they appointed by the president, whoever heads up that, or who appoints the head?
The president is the only person who can nominate, approve, and fire the head of the Fed.
So they do have a handle.
They do.
Yes, they
absolutely.
Do. But
that could all change then under...
And she doesn't like Trump very much, I promise you that.
And I'm not sure he likes her, because I've listened to... I campaigned for Trump, and I've listened to probably well over 100 rallies on YouTube. And you can pull all about 150 rallies, what it amounts to, from the primaries forward. And he touched on that. I don't recall which rally, but it was a rally somewhere in this country. And he said, "Hey," he says, if this doesn't come together, he says, "I will find a way to bring it together, so that we have a financial stability."
Many of us believe that we should just abandon the Fed. And that is a minority opinion at this point, but a lot of true conservatives believe that we were fed a bill of goods, and we go all the way back to Thomas Jefferson, who warned us over and over about the dangers of having a central bank.
Okay.
Alexander Hamilton was in favor of it. It didn't get done until 1913, and then it was due to strange circumstances. But it's always had its foes, and it's always had its supporters. I think it is absolutely a dangerous institution that needs to be abolished.
I'm with you 100%. How about throwing the UN in there as well? They have a petition out now where people are signing to abandon the UN. So maybe we can take care of both all in one swoop of the pen.
I think I was a teenager when I saw the first bumper sticker that said, "Get the U.S. out of the U.N., get the U.N. out of the U.S.
Exactly. I remember that day. You and I go back.
Yes, we do, too. It's the same area at the same time.
Same time period. Yeah. Have a good one, buddy.
You want to take a shot at the trivia?
I'm going to say 7.
Ooh, you're close but a little high. Well, we've got a real bracket now.
Yeah, you sure do.
We appreciate it.
Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks for the call. That's nice to hear from people who've been around listening for a while.
You know, my opinion on the Fed is, I don't have a real hard opinion, because I think that they do some things that are valuable and they do some things that are extremely harmful as well.
Well, you want me to give you a little surprise and insight there? I actually have a little bit of sympathy for them, because if you read their mission statement, they are conflicted by design.
That is true. And the other thing is, if you look at what the austerity measures did in Europe, they, without having quantitative easing, they are still in a recession that we have gotten out of. So if you compare apples to apples, we actually got through this thing better than Europe did. And it's not just that, but that did play a part in it.
It did. But then you can also overlay things like that with what, looking at what Japan has been doing for years and the little success that they've had, little or none. We'll talk more about that. And Chris, it's a little too close to the break to take your call. If you can, please just hang on until right after the break, and we'll take your very first thing. Okay, everybody, lines are open, 222-8255. That's 222-TALK. We got to take a little news break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll be right back, and we'll go to Chris and the other callers, and we've got some IRA things to talk about, and who knows what else. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on this first show of the new year. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And a reminder that this segment is sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794, because right now you might actually have a little bit of time to upgrade your property, like we're about to do. It's a real good time of year to be doing things like that. So, without further delay, good morning, Chris.
How are you? You've done a terrific job, as usual.
Thank you so much.
I'll give you my question, and you can discuss it on the air.
Sure.
Regarding foreign policy and the stock market, mm-hmm. or finances in general. Do you think this next 4 years will be more defined by Trump being his hands tied with foreign events and finances, or will it be 50-50 is what I'm saying, or you think he'll be able to work and do all this work at the U.S., infrastructure, et cetera? You think he's going to be tied with the foreign affairs, with Korea, or whatever else?
I don't think any more than has been the case for the past 8 years will foreign policy affect things. If anything, hopefully a little less. We have to be respected by our friends. We have to be feared by our enemies. We have been neither. We should regain all of that. Personally, I think that Trump's biggest headwind is going to be Republicans in Congress.
I think that's fair.
What it looks like.
Yep. They just aren't trustworthy.
Yeah. I'll give you a guess on the trivia. What's the question, the parameters?
What or how much better did the S&P 500 fare the first week of this year compared to the first week of last year in percentage points to the nearest tenth, and our bracket is 5 is too low and 7 is too high?
Oh, my gosh. Make it easy.
Yep.
6.
A fine guess, but a little too low.
Yep, so it's somewhere between 6 and 7.
Between 5 and 7 to the nearest tenth. That's what we're looking for.
Now wait a minute now. I thought you wanted whole numbers.
Well, 6 is a good guess.
6 is a whole number.
It is. It's
but
a
it's
good
not.
Guess,
yeah? It's technically 6.0, and that's still a little bit low. Call next week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. And good morning, Larry.
Well, good morning. Morning, gentlemen. I've got a guess. I'll cut through the time.
Sure.
6.5%.
That is one of the acceptable guesses. You are absolutely right. I came up with 6.6 plus or minus 0.1 based on actual numbers that I looked up this morning. So you're exactly right. Now, when you think about that, the reason I like these things is because some of them have a lot of importance. When you figure out we had a pretty good year last year, all things considered, and we've started in the hole by almost 5% in the first week and by 13% in the first 6 weeks, and we still did okay.
Yeah, since the low on February 11th, the S&P is now up 20.5% from that time last year.
And will there be a correction this year? Yeah, most likely there will be. Will it be a good year? I think so. You can't have the shift in consumer confidence and spending and all that that is going on right now without having a fairly positive impact on the economy, i.e. the market should react. So, yeah, I'm thinking we're probably in for a good year. As always, don't get too jittery, don't get too greedy, all that stuff. Be smart, be watchful, but I'm optimistic as I've been in a long time. How about that?
Can I give a prediction?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correction, August the 21st, total eclipse of the sun.
Okay. We'll keep that in our permanent show notes, and okay. The first show after that, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, and don't forget your shorts.
Thanks.
It'll be warm.
We'll get your name and address off air, and we'll carry on from there. I appreciate your call.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate y'all being live. Everybody else is encore.
Yeah, we try to do this every single time. The only time we haven't been was when the hurricane knocked us all out of town.
Completely so understandable.
Our goal is to always be here live and to always have people listening and calling, so we appreciate your role in it, too.
Okay, and I'm wishing I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah, not as much as you're going to wish it when you take the dog out in the morning.
He doesn't even want to go out.
Okay. Neither did mine. She kept going out, and she'd run right back in.
Okay, I appreciate
Southern dogs.
I won't burn anymore.
All right, Larry, thanks.
Be good. Thanks. All right, Adam, what happened last year? A little year in review moment here, and yeah. I don't mean Dave Barry, although if you want to make it funny, it's good by me.
Well, there is some funny stuff in here, but mostly 2016 was the year of the comeback. As we talked about, the stock market came back from a really, really terrible open, one of the worst on record, and by midsummer was at new all-time highs. And then we had the Brexit vote, and the stock market absolutely plunged for a couple of days, and then suddenly came right back.
Trump came back from how many eulogies?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The American voter came back and went out to the polls.
Also true.
Wowie.
So I'm going to take a little look at what worked in 2016 and what didn't. And I did this last year, too. So I'm going to talk a little bit about last year as well. And you can kind of compare, and you'll see why I'm going to call it the year of the comeback as I go through this. So if we look at individual stocks, the best that I could find this year were, this is not going to surprise many people if you follow the stock market, energy companies were the best performers. Resolute Energy Corporation, ticker symbol REN, was up 865.6% on the year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Pioneer Energy Service, ticker symbol PES, was up 215.6%. Those were the two best I could find. The worst were Valeant Pharmaceuticals, VRX, down 85.26%. Endo International PLC, ENDP, was down 73.1%.
That's also biotech, I assume?
I didn't even look at that.
Probably.
Also, First Solar, FSLR, down 51.9%. Those were the three worst I could find. Last year, the best were Netflix and Amazon, and the worst were Chesapeake Energy and Consol Energy. So look at that. The worst from last year were energy companies, and the best this year are energy companies. So again, the year of the comeback.
Mm-hmm.
In ETFs, the best I found were Direxion Daily Brazil Bull 3x ETF, BRZU, up 195.71%.
So they impeached the president, and everybody loves it.
Yeah, go figure.
I'm just not going there.
The other one was the ProShares Ultra Junior Miners, GDJJ, up 109.84%.
Attitudes about metals are definitely changing.
The worst were Direxion Daily Junior Gold Miners Bearish 3x ETF, mm-hmm. JDST, down 97.41%.
There's a lesson to be learned in that one, yeah, too, folks. When you double down or triple down on a negative ETF, know what to expect.
Yeah, and this just proves that. Direxion Daily S&P Oil and Gas Exploration and Production Bearish 3x ETF, DRIP, down 87.42%. Yeah. The worst sectors this year, or the sectors this year that were the best, were energy at 19.45% up, and the worst was financial services at up 0.45%. This has a little asterisk by it because financial services and real estate were broken out of their made into their own sectors this year, which they weren't last year. So healthcare was actually the worst performing sector this year at up 1.21% when you compare like to like. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit different. Then last year, the best was consumer discretionary at up 9.94%, and the worst was energy down 21.46%. Interesting. Countries. This year's best was Russia, up 52%. The worst was China, interestingly, down 12 or 15%, depending on which exchange you look at. Last year, the best was Jamaica, up more than 80%, and the worst was Ukraine, down more than 38%. For commodities.
Jamaica?
Yeah, yeah. You don't remember having that conversation? Captain Dave called in, said, yeah, it's booming down there. No.
I remember Captain Dave calling, and I know he spends a lot of time in Jamaica, but I don't remember the outlook on their what kind of economy do they have? How much money is he spending when he goes down there?
Well, what's being legalized over here?
I mean, you may have a point.
Yeah. So for commodities, the best this year was oil, up 52%, and worst was cocoa, down 33%. Last year, the best was cocoa, and the worst was oil. So again, year of the comeback.
Well, if you don't like what you're invested in, you either change the investment or wait a year, and it'll all be better.
Exactly.
There must be a lesson there somewhere.
Very true.
Okay, when we get back, I'm going to talk about IRAs. I've got some tips and some warnings. It's that time of year when a lot of attention goes to IRAs because it's not too late to do something about that yet for your last year's taxes, and that's just one of the tips. There'll be a bunch more right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Way Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I do have a public service announcement. I've been talking about this for a while, and it's sneaking up on us. It is January 21st. This is an event that puts together two of my favorite things, a great charity, the American Cancer Society, along with dogs. The event is called the American Cancer Society Bark for Life. It's being held very near where we are now at Dogwood Park on Salisbury Road. And if you want to get more information on either how to donate or how to participate or just go watch, the website is relayforlife.org/BarkSouthsideFL for Florida. So if you like dogs and you are feeling charitable, go have a good time. All right. Not too late to do some things for your taxes. A lot of things. Too bad. December 31st came and went. You can't put any more salary deferral in your 401k for 2016, but that doesn't mean you're out of it yet. You can still contribute to your IRA up to the date you file. So one of the things is get a little handle on your tax situation from 2015. Look at 2016, see if it's going to be similar, different, better, worse. And if you haven't done so, and if you are eligible, and there are some things you need to know about all of those, then you can still open up an IRA. If it's the deductible kind, you can take that deduction backwards into 2016, and it will help you. So one of my favorite websites is an outfit called bottomlineinc.com. And one of the things they do is financial, but they do a lot of just tips for daily living, all kinds of good stuff you can find on there. We found an article in the financial part of Bottom Line Inc. that had some good tips for IRAs. So I was reading through them. I've got some comments, but then I realized there's some other things. I wouldn't expect a real in-depth analysis on a website that is anything other than a total IRA or total financial website. And sure enough, there are some things that I thought might be interesting. So I'll tell you what they brought and my little embellishments to it. First off, according to Bottom Line Inc., IRA owners who are not 59 and a half will be charged a 10% early withdrawal penalty unless they use a legal device called a 72T, or it's also called a series of substantially equal payments, or a SEP. SEPP. There's a difference between a SEP with one P and a SEP with two Ps. This one refers to payments. The other one is a type of retirement account. The SEP payments can be calculated based on information that's on the IRS website. There are a couple, three different ways to do it, but the amount of it will be determined by your age of balance and so on, and the going interest rate. There must be at least five payments. They can't end until you're 59 and a half. And I would add to that, that being 59 and a half for purposes of IRAs does not mean the year that you turn 59 and a half. It means the day you turn 59 and a half. So if you take it out 364 years into that year of your life, you're going to get penalized, where if you wait till tomorrow, when you're actually 59 and a half, you won't get penalized. It's one of the few times that it really matters when you're dealing with the IRS. Normally, it's age at the end of the tax period. All right, they also say penalties may also be avoided by using the funds that you withdraw for medical expenses in excess of 10% of your adjusted gross income. Now, as I've mentioned before, adjusted gross income is that number that you find at the very bottom line on the page one of your 1040. I would add that when you do take these withdrawals out of your IRA, and if you're intending to put them on your medical expenses above 10%, those withdrawals from the IRA also count in your adjusted gross income. So every dollar you take out takes that threshold up another dollar. Be very careful. Consult someone who knows if you need to. Bottom Line Inc. says, IRA owners who are permanently disabled may withdraw penalty-free funds at any age, but the income will be fully taxed. I agree with that absolutely. Now, separating IRAs is sometimes necessary, according to them, but it can also be done purely for convenience. You can lump all your traditional IRAs together. This is done a lot when people retire and they have an IRA sitting out there and a 401k and maybe another 401k, and they blend them all together in a rollover IRA that makes things easy. Your Roth IRAs always have to be separate and distinct from your traditionals, and every inherited IRA must also be an individual separated account. But there are times when an IRA owner may want to separate the IRA. That usually comes in when you have multiple beneficiaries, and especially so if those beneficiaries are of different ages. Sometimes they'll be split apart by the owner. Other times, my addition, you can ask your custodian upon the death of the person who owns the IRA to separate that account into different parts so that you can take yours the way you want it and your brothers or sisters or whatever can take theirs the way they want them. I've just been through that, and it can be very convenient. IRA owners wishing to hold non-traditional investments, which include precious metals and real estate, need to form separate IRAs for those standard custodians, the Schwab, TD Ameritrade, people like that. They will not handle these. These are specialty items done by specialty companies who charge a lot for it. Now, I'm going to add to that a couple of things. One, you're seeing more and more advertisements online and in traditional advertising, and you're hearing about it. You want to hold your precious metal IRA in your hand. You can have it through a special loophole now at the IRS. You can hold that gold in your hand. Don't do it. There is no IRS provision, and I would invite anybody to please prove me wrong, but I haven't been proven wrong yet, and I can't find it, although I'm not a CPA and I don't give tax advice. I can tell you one thing. Don't set yourself up. So if you want to invest in precious metals, get the traditional old IRA with the custodian from somewhere else, or do as we do, which is to own the electronic version in the form of ETFs. It's a lot safer, it's a lot easier, and it's a lot less expensive. As to holding real estate in your IRA, this one is a bugaboo of mine that goes way, way back. Can it be done? Yes. Should it be done? Probably not, but maybe. What does it depend on? It depends on a lot of different factors, not the least of which is the consideration that all money going into the IRA has to be put there legally, meaning you can roll additional funds into it or you can contribute to it up to the limits. all expenses on the real estate held within that IRA have to be paid by the IRA itself. You pay it, boom, it's taxable. Just like that. It's called self-dealing. There's a prohibition against it. It is a very complicated thing to own real estate in an IRA. And even when you're done with it, or if you're thinking up front, I'll buy this thing because it's so cute, and then someday I'll retire and I'll take it out and I'll live in it. That is going to make it fully taxable to you because it violates the prohibition against self-dealing. Understand the rules. If you have questions about them, call the show, call us, call your tax expert, whatever. All right. And also, Bottom Line Inc. says, working spouses can contribute to an IRA for a non-working spouse. Absolutely true. Subject to the same rules all IRA owners have, including earned income limitations and age-based contribution limits. Workers with 401k plans can contribute to both the 401k and an IRA, subject to the same limitations. Workers with employers who match part of the 401k, it's important to remember that you should always contribute as much as you can into there, but especially if you can get up to the point where the match takes place. That is free money. You cannot get that free money in an IRA, no matter what. I would add on top of that, and this includes the government people with the TSP plan, they can limit the amount that they will match in any given pay period. If you are a highly paid government employee and you decide, I'm going to crank this thing in there early because first rules of money are more is better than less and sooner is better than later. If you try to front load that thing, you are probably going to cut down the match inadvertently. Not a very good idea. So, if you want to know these things, you can always work it out on paper. Sometimes you might need a little help. One of the things that we do, it required minimum distributions must be taken from all inherited IRAs and must be taken from all traditional retirement accounts when the owner hits 70 and a half. The exceptions to that can be manipulated by rolling it into a 401k if you're still working. All right, the music's playing. I got a couple more of these that I'll just carry on to next week with some more specific advice. We're going to miss you in the next segment because this went by too fast. So you have to hold your breath until next week, I guess, as we will. All right, we'll see you next week, same time, same channel. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.